If you were leaving because of hunger, you've been hungry before, so what was different about it now?
No, you can only let extend the death loop, because they changed around so much between one part and the other that we never knew where we were going to end up. And what happened to me was that later I told you was going across the supermarket, and they only received invitations to come to
passports.
Passports. You don't just get passports. I could be. They had a brother living in Milwaukee. That's how we ended up in Milwaukee. They sent for them. There's a name for it. I forgot what it's called. You send papers, certain papers, asking them to come to the States.
Mm-hmm.
So Dina, this Dina, you already mentioned that she was visiting here. She was Laser's sister. Before I was engaged, she was supposed to go with the group, with Laser and a brother and his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Was supposed to go. Then, all of a sudden, she got engaged to a man that wasn't invited, that didn't have his passport, as you say, or whatever the paper she did, they required. So instead of him, and she remained there then. Instead of her, I went.
Mm-hmm.
See, it just actually is like that it happened that there was for me a chance to go to America.
So your mother and sister stayed behind?
Oh, yeah, my mother and sister stayed behind. And yet, after a while, when we settled down here, we had to send for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me about your trip to Romania.
So, yeah. We had to get to the Romanian side to go to Iasi. Iasi is Romania, the capital of Romania, it was. So there's a Dniester there between where we were and the Sarajevo. The Sarajevo was a part of Romania. It's complicated for you to comprehend.
I know that. Lines have changed so much.
Yeah, lines have changed. So anyway, this was in winter time, the Masira Valley, and there was no way of crossing that Dniester River that you had to in order to get to the Romanian side. So all of a sudden it got so cold that it finally covered up the dikes. We weren't even sure that we went drown there because usually the first night nobody takes chances.
Mm-hmm.
But in our case it was a question of life and death. We had to go. So we started running over that Dniester to get to the other side.
Were you with a horse and buggy or were you just on foot?
No, this was on foot. A horse and buggy wouldn't dare go on that ice.
Mm-hmm.
That was on foot to get to the main side. So when we finally got there, we looked around and his mother, who was in the 70s at the time or so, was left behind. She wasn't there. And we looked around and she was on the other end. So Laser had to go back. I'm telling you that story because it wasn't, you took chances on your life even crossing one. So now you have to go back and take his mother over to the other side. And then all of a sudden we heard they started shooting out loud, shooting from guns. The reason they did is they knew that the travelers carry within their baggage. And to scare them, they knew that we dropped the baggage, our baggage in their own.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what happened. We all dropped the baggage, our baggage. Suitcases.
Mm-hmm.
And we ran to the other side. When we came there, they were still shooting, and I saw, they knew the other side because they were from Romania.
Mm-hmm.
Laser and the family, they lived there once on mm-hmm. that side. So they knew where they were running, but I didn't. And I saw a light there in one house, and I went to the door, and they never locked. It wasn't evening. They never liked the doors. So I didn't know the language. I didn't know to tell them that that I'm lost. But I suppose they understood me. They understood what was happening. I didn't know whether they killed me or who they are or what they're going to do to me. So then on one of the, like, something like this here, they had
a bench.
A bench. No, not a cup. Nobody had coffee tables.
A bench.
A bench. They had a bench there, a wooden bench. And they told me to lie down there. So I had my winter coat on. And I lay down there, and I didn't know what was going to happen to me. But it didn't take long. And I heard a knock at the window. And later, you know, when they saw that I'm not there, they didn't know where I go. But they saw that light. So, or they tried a few other windows to find out. They knew the language. See, they knew the Romanian language.
Mm-hmm.
So they finally, it was later that knocked at the window, and they opened the door. And then he explained what it was all, and I went with them wherever they were overnight. That night, we had to travel in that cold weather without. Now we didn't have anything to cover ourselves with outside of what we were wearing. So they hired Orson Bobby to take us to this place that we had to go to. And I think I told you that it was so cold. I asked the driver, the passenger, to sit on my legs while he was driving. That would get me alive. And all the rest of them, I didn't know. See, I was from the bigger, they were from a smaller town. They were better dressed. I was as fancy. I was wearing thin stockings. But usually they were wearing knit, handmade knit stockings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we got there, to the remaining site.
And Liz's mother and brother were with you the whole way, except for when she fell down.
Yes, she fell down, and then this fellow tried to get after us, remember that? When they followed us and told us to, when they were, you know, when the fellow was told, he was sent, a group of them, then by the, we were driving, and they were, see, they must have been white guards, because one came back saying, you know, these people on the horses want you back to them, come back. So he was a nice person, he said to us, you know what, you drive very fast and I'll go very slowly back, telling them I couldn't catch you anymore.
So you think they weren't just bandits, they wanted to kill you as well?
Sure, but what would they want us for? Oh, these were young girls, you know, I was a young girl and Gina was young.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what they had in their mind. But whatever they had in mind, they killed besides.
You must have been very frightened and sick and starving and everything else.
These are a big mess.
Did you... During that trip, did you begin to think that you wish you'd stayed at home and that you hadn't gone? I mean, did you?
It was very bad at home, too. It was very bad at home.
There
was no choice. They never knew that tomorrow was going to be there, who was going to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And where we get the bread, and who's going to run tomorrow? Do we have the kind of money that the next government is going to accept?
So you weren't homesick, in other words?
Well, I was homesick for my mother and for my family. See, I didn't have anybody of my family, it was Lisa's family.
Did Lisa's brother and mother treat you well?
Yeah. They knew me, and we were all in trouble. All of us were in the same trouble.
So what happened once you got to the capital? What was that, the name of the capital again?
Yassi.
Yassi?
Yeah, that's from the Romanian. Up there, from there, we got a train to, let's see, how do we... Oh, we had to go to Germany. Yeah, from there we went to Germany. In Germany, they had to delouse you before you can go on a boat. You know what the delousing means?
What did they do to you?
You know, they knew that we were all filthy.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't such a thing as taking a bath or even bother to drink anyway. So, but the Germans were very clean. That's why Hitler was so particular about the killing of thousands of people to keep the country clean. But anyway, these are so life. Every immigrant that can add life, you never saw a life.
It's white.
Is that the size?
I don't know.
It's the size of a hall of a needle.
Mm-hmm.
That's the size of life. So they, before they let you on the boat, they had to realize you. It means that they comb your hair, they put something in so that the better it's in your hair, so it dies.
That's all they do, is they comb your hair, they don't do anything
else? No, I say, and your body, too. Let's see, but I think there they had a shower or something before leaving, in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So Germany was much more advanced.
Did any of you speak German?
Yiddish, almost all Jewish people know German a little. They can understand. They may not know it grammatically though, but they understand, because Jewish language is taken from German.
So you were deloused, and then what happened? You put on a ship, or?
Then we were put on the ship.
What was the boat ride like?
What was it like? Oh, it took a long time to get in. Unlike, you know about the name of the ship in Europe where you are in?
Queen Mary?
Yeah, no, that's a ship I crossed in 1936, Queen Mary. You know, we went to see it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
1936, that was our new ship. I think that's how old it is, that ship. But the one we went down, I don't remember the name. That was one of the old ships. And it took a long time. This ship, it took maybe 6 days to cross the ocean between them. But the other ship, that was 1936.
Right.
And we came in 21.
And how long do you think it took? 2 weeks, maybe?
No, more than a week. It took more than a week. And it was rough and wasn't...
How many people were... How many immigrants were
on board? Was packed.
Like hundreds?
As many as could fit in, yeah. And then we came to Ellis Island. That's the one he was mentioning in the book, if you saw. And then they started realizing they're checking if you had a visa, and only to find that my mother's eyes were not, they practically kept her back from going because her eyes, something was wrong with her eyes.
Let me ask you a little bit more about the boat. How did they, Where did you sleep? Was it a big room or little cabins?
No, little cabins. Maybe it's three or four, one on the top of the other.
And one per family? Or?
It depends. The new family, but if there was a single person, let's say there was room for four people. They didn't care if it was a family or who are just so that to put it in the four places.
Mm-hmm.
Not like you travel now, but you want to be with your family. Wherever they have place, they put you there.
What did they feed you?
Rice with cinnamon. I remember that was the proper...
Rice with cinnamon?
Yeah, cooked rice with bread. Most of it. Most of the time that was it. And in the morning, frozen coffee. I'm sure it was tea.
Did you have to do any work on the ship?
No. But it was dirty. The toilets were dirty. You couldn't take showers. It's very old.
What did you do with all this time?
They had some kind of games on the very top of the ship. I was sick all the time on the boat.
Seasick?
Yeah. I can't, up to now, I can't stand when I go on a boat. So I didn't, I couldn't eat very well, I couldn't throw up. But those that could, those people were talking among themselves, you know, that they had that much in common, they were in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And they may have played, I don't know what you call it, to throw something, some kind
of shoes.
Yeah, that's the right question. How do you know?
I know the name.
Yes, that's correct.
So finally you got to Ellis Island, and they deloused you again.
Yeah.
And they...
They treated her for something.
Mm-hmm.
So we were delayed there.
How do they delay you there? Are there rooms where they have you sleep, or what?
Yeah, that's old stories going around about that thing. I'm saying some stories are bad it is there.
Was
how
it bad?
It used to be. Yes, because fighting going on, because it was crowded and there wasn't enough food, and it wasn't pleasant.
Now, did you change your name when you came through?
Yeah, my name, all the way through,
mm-hmm.
till I came here. I don't even know my age because of that.
Mm-hmm. What about the last name?
My other name was Lessman, right?
Mm-hmm.
And mine was Rosenthal. But when I came here and I got married, so it turned out to be Letwin too.
Was was Laser's name Letwin in Russia? Was that the way you said it?
Yes, Lutvak. No, it was Lutvak. I think that when he came here, his brother was in Milwaukee. He changed. When he came, he came under the name Lutvak. The reason he changed it because Lutvak found Jewish, and he couldn't get a job at the time, being Jewish.
So he changed?
He changed it to Letwin, so all of us changed to Letwin.
Huh. So finally you're let out of Ellis Island. What happened then?
Oh, then we came to Milwaukee.
How did you get to Milwaukee?
By train.
By train?
Because I don't see the lone airplane, so.
Do you remember some of your first impressions of New York or United States or the train or any?
We were so all tired out. I don't think we paid much attention. All I learned was to get someplace to just relax.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we saw the, in New York, we saw these tall buildings. They didn't mean anything to us. We didn't never go there. There was nobody with us to was interested in explaining to us, like if you go sightseeing now.
Mm-hmm. So you were so exhausted.
That's right. Mm-hmm. All of us.
Who met you in Milwaukee?
Oh, in Milwaukee was all right. And his brother, Lisa's brother, he met here,
mm-hmm.
his wife, and one of them had a car. He met a car. So we all went to the car, and we stayed with his brother for a few days till we found out to find some living quarters. We found out basement. We lived in a basement in one car. That's where I got my roommate.
What was it like in the basement? Was it just a big room? Or
it was more than one room. Was it then? You could see the water in the bed. Mm-hmm. In Milwaukee is very damp anyway, even in the warm weather, and in any time, it's just damp. It's unlike Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And until we found a place, all of us together, in the basement, let's see, how long have I been in the basement? When I went to work, I right away went to work here.
Where did you get a job?
In the family, somebody had a store in Milwaukee that at that time made hem stitching. Do you know what hem stitching is? It's a machine that makes little holes for a decoration. Let's see if I find some.
Like iron?
Stitching. It's something like this.
Uh-huh.
And, then they had that was on the Roseville. In the minimum.
1920?
He came to 21.
21? That was,
wasn't it on the
Roseville?
Oh, you're right. Hey, wait a minute. Yeah, you're right. He first got in and, Roseville got in. When did he get in? 1930?
He was sometime in the 1930s. I don't know why
it was Hoover. I think it was Hoover.
Was it a government job or was it a private
business? No, it's a private business.
Mm-hmm.
I work on that machine 12 hours a week. It was a minimum wage.
12 hours a week or?
$12 a week.
Oh, $12 a week. How many hours a day did you work?
Eight.
No,
so $40 for 10 years.
And 5 days a week?
Yeah.
Did Lazy get a job too?
He didn't get a job. At that time, you know, cars, you seldom saw a car, so people were using umbrellas. So, and there were a lot of immigrants. Everyone had umbrellas. He was fixing umbrellas. Somebody showed him how to fix umbrellas. So he learned to fix umbrellas and that, tried to make a living too.
What about his brother? Did he work?
He did the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And then his mother didn't work, though. She was too old.
His mother didn't work, and another sister who came a little bit later and stayed with us, too. Later when she came with us. Did I leave her out? Sure, I forgot. Another sister I forgot. She was in Milwaukee. She was married, too. See, when I mentioned all these people, I didn't mention them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So she didn't go to work. Oh, I know. See, Dina didn't come with us because she was married. I came instead.
Right.
I came instead of Dina. The other sister came with us.
So since you were the only one with a real job, you probably got home most of the money.
We lived together, all of us together in that placement. And we had to contribute more because we earned more.
Mm-hmm. What about his relatives who were already there? Had they become very successful or what were they doing?
No.
What did they do for a living?
He's the one that taught them how to fix umbrellas.
Is that what he did?
That's what he did.
Did everyone live in a Jewish neighborhood? I mean,
it was the Jewish and the black people that were in the same neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
The black and the poor Jewish people lived in the same neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. What about the relative who owned the store that you worked at? Were they well off?
What relative?
You said you got a job in the family.
Oh. Yeah, well, let's see the closer. He was all right. He was single. He was single. He was older. He was older than I was, but he was single. And he had two sisters. One was working with cigars, making cigars, and one was sick, a sickly person. So she didn't work, but he had property. And we lived that away. We lived in one of his houses. We late at night rented a place, and then our child, and William was to be born. And I was pregnant. I was working when I was pregnant. I was still working there.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't work anymore. Because we had to send for my mother and for my sister, who were still waiting there for us to send for them.
In New York, I know they had the uptown Jews and the downtown Jews. Was there a similar thing in Milwaukee?
In Milwaukee, it was the west side and the east side and the west side. The richer people moved. See, Jewish people tried to get away from the black people. That's the way it worked there.
Mm-hmm.
So the poor people couldn't get away, so the rich people got away.
Mm-hmm.
And they built new homes. They lived west.
So the west side was the wealthier side?
Yeah, the Casey side. And we remained to the black in this city.
Hmm.
There is where Bill went to school, then Leon went to school, in that neighborhood.
Hmm. Tell me about going to school to learn English. You told me a little bit about that before.
Hmm.
Where did you go and what was it like?
When we first came over on a Friday, that was my question, where we were in English.
Mm-hmm.
So they said that they were special schools here for immigrants. So I started out there, and then I found out that a lot of immigrants go to night school, where they set a school. So I started going to night school.
Was it free?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people from Italy and Germany and Greece and England and North England, and they didn't have to learn any Russian, all kinds of English language.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun, because nobody knew the language. And the teachers were in big trouble. They, you know, it was very hard for them to handle people of different nationalities without knowing their language.
So how would they teach you?
Well, they, you know, if you're in a country where the language is spoken, it's in the air. You know that it's very move, you hear English.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, and I was just out of school. For me, it was easy. If I'll tell you that he said that to my husband, he said, your wife, see, I was married at the time, your wife has a good head, and I thought it was poor English to say your wife has a good head, because to me, a good man, you take something and you say it's good.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought he didn't know it.
No,
but that's a corrective to school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the principal said your wife has a good head. Because it was, I was just out of school, because it wasn't too bad.
So you caught on fairly quickly?
No, I was not sure I could, with the foreign accent, see?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get rid of the accent, because they never paid attention to your accent, whoever it was, because the main thing to them was for you to learn English.
Mm-hmm. That's real interesting, because that's not the way they
Not now. Mm-hmm. Now they want you to see like TH, I couldn't, they never explained why TH should be pronounced like
this.
Mm-hmm. We didn't have TH in our language. The Russian language isn't got a TH sound.
Mm-hmm.
So, or H, like, I can say, behind.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't pay attention, maybe I was incorrect now, but even if it seems more incorrect when I don't pay attention, I don't want to show up. So I said behind. And
I
know the H is missing, you know?
Uh-huh. I see what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
And did Laser go to the same school to learn?
Yeah, he went to the same school. But see, it was different. It was Gina's sister. Gina wasn't here yet, because she remained there. Gina's sister and her husband, and Nathan and I, four of us then.
At what point did you get married? When exactly did you get married in America?
Oh, you mean the date?
No, not the date. I mean, what made you finally get married?
I tell you that later. You know, my mother-in-law, I told you all the time that we stay together.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so worried that something is going to happen between the two of us, that it was supposed to be irregular before you're married. And she was afraid that I'll have a child without being married.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been the biggest tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
The Jewish mother she witnessed. So she rushed us.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be... Just got married.
Were you living as if you were married before you were married?
Never.
Really?
Never.
You didn't sleep together?
No. Never. Not before they were married. See, now you're laughing. See, it's like, I could tell you the same story. It makes me laugh. Then I don't know what do you call your relationship with David, I'll ask you.
Well, that isn't really... I'll tell you after we finish the tape.
No, but that's a reply to your question, whether we live together or not.
Well, I assumed that after everything you'd been through, becoming part of his family, going through that horrible experience, the boat ride and so on, I thought that you were just living as man and wife and you didn't care whether you were or
never.
Not.
No, never. But you never, I could tell you.
Would it ever occur to you to live with a man man and wife without being married?
See, that was in our tradition from childhood down, that something like that is never, should never be done.
Mm-hmm. So how were you married?
And then how? Officially, see, the usual way, the dadaba.
Mm-hmm. You didn't go to court or anything like that?
Oh, yes, you had to go to court to register.
But you didn't get married by a judge, you got married by a rabbi.
By a rabbi. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Did you have was it a big ceremony or was it very short?
No, see, the reason we had a rabbi is because my mother-in-law insisted that it has to be the traditional way.
Hmm. Were you allowed to kiss each other before you got married?
We didn't ask him to kiss each other, but we didn't that we were allowed or not allowed. That we did.
Oh, you felt free to kiss each other? Yeah,
yeah, away from people, not in the presence of people. And surely not in the presence of my mother.
So, when did you become pregnant?
The first time. Oh, and it wasn't by accident. He wanted a child.
Mm-hmm.
It was maybe a year later.
A year after you'd been working at this at the job.
Well, when I got married, wait a minute, I was still working, but till I was to give birth to the child, and then the child was born. What did you ask me to do?
I guess I'm asking. Did you wait a year before you had a child, or did you have did you have William the first year?
No, I think we had it at the end of the first year. We wanted a child.
Mm-hmm. And you moved from the basement to?
To one of the friend's house.
With your mother-in-law and your
No, just the two of us in the same house.
What happened to your mother-in-law and your brother-in-law?
She still remained with the other children. She had a daughter, mm-hmm. and a son-in-law, and her son. My sister's husband is. We were two sisters married to brothers.
So it was perfectly fine for you to go and get your own place.
Yeah, see, there wasn't room for us there anymore. So, you know, it would have been too. There wouldn't be room for the child.
And,
mm-hmm. and I did some work at home too, so we had a sewing machine. So I used to make bath ropes.
Mm-hmm.
I got 28, and my husband would sell them before Christmas time. because I couldn't get away from home. At that time, it wasn't the way that you hired somebody to take care of your baby and you went to work.
Mm-hmm.
You had a child, so you had to attend to the child.
That's so you had to quit your job once you had the baby?
Yes, I quit the job. And I did whatever I could to make it of fixing umbrellas.
How much did work did he get fixing umbrellas?
He just made enough to pay the rent.
Mm-hmm.
And to live from a low standard, because then my sister and mother were still abroad waiting for us to send for them, and that was costly, and we couldn't afford it, so we borrowed money from a bank to buy the tickets, to send them tickets, and then we had to pay that, and that was because the interest they used to get a lot of interest. Before they gave you the money, they took off the interest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why would the bank give you a loan? What kind of collateral?
This fellow that I was working for, he signed for us. Yeah.
So how soon did you bring your mother and sister over?
Then they started out coming. They had everything ready. And as they got to the... they were supposed to take the boat, I forgot what you call it, and that was in Latvia,
mm-hmm.
to the port, that was the word I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
When they got to the port, something new came from the United States that foreigners were not allowed in. and the day that she came for the next, and that next took 3 years. So they remained in Latvia for 3 years, and we had to support them.
Oh my goodness.
The two of them.
So they came after William was born, and I think...
Oh, yeah.
When he was two or something?
No. He was older. I think he was 3 years.
I'll get back to your baby. Did you go to the hospital to have William?
Yeah. Yes, so they got to be.
Were there midwives in Milwaukee, or did everyone go?
I don't know if they were midwives, but I went to the hospital. There was no question about me going to the hospital. I had a doctor, you know. I was on the doctor's care. I knew what hospital, Mount Sinai Hospital for Jewish hospital. But I was going to see that hospital.
Did they give you anesthetic? Did you...
I had a very hard time. I think it took about 2 days for him to be born.
Oh my goodness.
They didn't operate. They thought they had to.
Mm-hmm.
But they helped you, but 2 days I was ready.
What did you feel like when you having your first child?
Ooh.
What was it like?
It was the greatest thing in the world. I thought it was the greatest thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like every mother, I thought, I suck you, you're so nice. You just love it, like.
Were you worried about what you were going to do for money now that you couldn't work anymore and you had another mouth to feed?
Yeah. We knew that our standard is not going to go up or down. We just got to manage and accept it. See, it wasn't a question of buying a dress or buying shoes or buying whatever we had, that we had to manage the day, and other than that, rent was, we lived in a very poor place.
What was it like? How many rooms?
It was enough rooms, but see, it didn't have a basement, which made it very damp in Milwaukee. It was underground, and now you have that rheumatism there.
Did
we
have a bathroom and a kitchen?
Yeah, we did have a bathroom and a kitchen. Not a bathroom that you could heat the water. You had to warm up water and carry it into the bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of a thing.
So you didn't have hot water?
No.
Just cold running
water? Cold water, and you had to heat the water every time I had to wash. And no machine.
Did you have electricity?
Yeah. Yeah.
How about a telephone?
Oh, no. That was a luxury.
So, let's see, this is on. What year was William born?
1921. My name became in 1922. The end of 22.
So, only wealthy people had telephones then?
It was a luxury.
How did you get around if you didn't
maybe
have a car?
Maybe you were born in 1923. If you caught the time a few months behind, you know. No, I think it was in 1923, the beginning of 1923.
Were there any books or magazines that you would read on how to take care of your child?
Oh, yeah. They had not pardon the regulars. They had a welfare house, they called it.
Welfare house?
Yeah. It didn't have anything to do with giving you anything, only that they knew there were a lot of immigrants and they may not know how to handle a child. So they had some kind of an outfit in you every day to brought in the child, and they'd listen to his lungs and they'd examine him and they tell you what you feel, they give you a booklet or something, what you feel in this or not you feel. I nursed them.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have that problem. But to those that didn't actually know the formula.
So they had like doctors and nurses there?
Yeah, it was very nice. I loved to take them there. because I felt bad that they examined them.
What kind of information would be in the pamphlets that they gave you?
Then he started getting about 3-4 months, that you could start giving him oranges, banana. Mm-hmm. So they just gradually see that you yourself didn't know.
Did it ever say anything about child psychology, like it's so big today? Were you ever told how you were supposed to treat your child?
No. Like you did your own judge. No, they didn't go into that, never. Just to keep them clean, they emphasize that. And if it's a nipple, you never use a nipple. But if it's a nipple, that it has to be boiled. Sanitation, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
See the rest, they don't tell you how. You think I'm exaggerating, I've never seen a child better than he was. He was so good. He didn't give me any trouble. He was even good.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sleeping us. He was no trouble. So.
Did you have a crib?
Yeah, I had a crib. I think somebody gave it to me.
Mm-hmm. Did you have things like baby toys? Blocks or stuffed animals?
You mean when he got older? Yeah, people gave him gifts. You know, we had a family. We had my mother-in-law mm-hmm. and my sister-in-law. Nobody had that child. He was the first child in the family, small child in the family. So he was the thing that they wanted to come and always watch over him.
I just wondered, what did really small children play with then?
Well, they had toys. They had toys there. And then he used to play outside a lot because he lived in a basement, and I didn't want him to stay in the basement.
The second place was a basement, too?
Yes.
I see.
Yeah. So because of my own experience, I didn't want him to. So early in the morning, I used to... he'd get up and I'd give him his breakfast. And, you know, when they are little, they sleep a lot. And then I put him out in the buggy outside to protect him so that he didn't fall out.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd stay in the buggy till he fell asleep again. And he had a grocery store there. So I should have told you that.
That's a big thing.
Oh, I forgot. You asked me, how did he manage? Laser was working there. I forgot about Laser was fixing the umbrellas. You were right. But then we realized that between sending money to my mother and having the child,
mm-hmm.
how did we manage? So we bought a grocery store somebody was selling. That was in a basement. That's how we ended up being in a basement.
I see. And how did you get the money to buy this
grocery store? I told you that man gave us... I told you this. I must have told you the story because he asked me and I said, he gave, oh no, that was money for my mother to send to my mother. That I told you. This same man, he just signed for us that he had dependable people.
You got one loan both to send for your family and also to buy the grocery store.
But the